Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, May 18, 2023, 1 John.
All right, before we get started, today is Melissa's birthday, and this is a birthday card, came all the way from the Philippines. So happy birthday to Melissa. She's 16, but she says she has been kissed lots of times. And it's Jeff's fault. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We may even finish chapter 3 tonight. But when I say that, usually about three more weeks. But anyway, we may even finish chapter 3 tonight. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, let's start at verse 19. Corrected translation starting at verse 19. And so, by means of this, and this is impersonal love for all, the functional virtue of virtue love. Virtue love is made up of three components: the great motivational virtue, personal love for God the Father, and that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. But in our context, the emphasis is on the great functional virtue, impersonal love for all. And so by means of this, impersonal love for all, we shall know that we are of the truth. And we shall have confidence, confidence in our hearts before Him. And before Him means not only before God the Father, but also we will have confidence before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, when each one of us as royal family will stand in our resurrection body before the Lord Jesus Christ and be evaluated by Him. But the believer that has virtue love brought to completion in his heart will stand there before the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords with great confidence. And that will be in contrast to multitudes of believers who will stand there before Jesus Christ and be put to shame, disgrace, dishonor. They will be ashamed as they stand before the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, because they failed to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. They failed to fulfill the ultimate objective of having virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. And they will stand before the King of all kings and Lord of all lords and be ashamed, have a soul full of regrets, for they are a loser believer. And that will characterize many, many, many believers at the judgment seat of Christ. But for the winner believer, confidence. Standing before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ with great, great confidence. So, and we shall have confidence in our hearts before Him, both God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 20, because if our heart condemns us, and that is a believer out of fellowship with God, living in Satan's cosmic system, bear in mind that God is greater than our heart. In fact, He has always known all things. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us because we are in fellowship with God, living the spiritual life, then we keep on having confidence before God. Again, confidence before God the Father, but also confidence before the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 22, and whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, God the Father, because we fulfill these two conditions. Condition number one, we continually obey His mandates, His commands. What are the commands that God has given us? He's commanded us to live the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He's commanded us to keep on being filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. He's commanded us to walk by the agency of the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. He's commanded us to stop grieving the Holy Spirit. He's commanded us to stop quenching the Holy Spirit. He's commanded us in 2 Peter 3:18 to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's commanded us in Hebrews 10:25 to stop forsaking yourselves together, as is the habit of some. All of these are the mandates to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. And whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, because God the Father, because condition number one, we continually obey His mandates. And condition number two, we keep on doing the things that are pleasing in His sight. Now that brings us to 1 John 3:23. And in 1 John 3:23, we have two mandates, two commands. First of all, we have a phase one mandate, which is for the whole human race, for all of mankind, and that is to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. And then the second command, the second mandate, is a phase two mandate, and that phase two mandate is to love one another with impersonal love for all. The phase two mandate is having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. So we start out in 1 John 3:23 with the phase one mandate. And it sounds like this. And this is His command. This is His mandate. To believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. The phase one mandate is for the whole human race. We have here the verb, ame, and the verb ame is in the present tense, and the present tense is a nomic present. The nomic present introduces a timeless axiom of Scripture. And the axiom is this. Phase one mandate, to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, is a timeless axiom of Scripture for the whole human race. And the phase two mandate, to love one another with impersonal love for all, is also a timeless axiom of Scripture for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. The active voice, God the Father performs the action of giving this mandate, and the indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact of the God-breathed Scriptures. And then the word entele. Entele is the word commandment, a command, an order, a mandate. And with the intensive pronoun autos used as a third person personal pronoun, it is His mandate. So the corrected translation, and this is His mandate. This is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. So the phase one mandate is for the whole human race. Let's pull this together. One, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, is to believe what His name proclaims Him to be. We have the word onoma used many, many times in salvation passages. Onoma, O-N-O-M-A. It means name. It means usually generally translated name or person. And to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, is to believe what His name proclaims Him to be. Two, He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Anointed One. He is the only Savior. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here at the first Advent, most of His own people rejected Him. They never saw Him as the Messiah. They never saw Him as the Christ, the Anointed One. They never saw Him as the only Savior. When they looked at Him, they called Him Rabbi, Ravi, Teacher. They just saw Him as a teacher. They never saw who and what Jesus Christ is. The Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the only Savior. Turn over to Acts 4, verse 12. And again, I stated that in salvation passages all throughout the New Testament, onoma is used over and over and over again, and in Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else. No one else. For there is no other name. Onoma, this is our word. There is no other onoma, no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. So, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, is to believe what His name proclaims Him to be. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Anointed One. He is the only Savior. 3. He is the unique person of the universe, the God-man. In hypostatic union, He's the unique person of the universe, the God-man. 4. Jesus Christ is undiminished deity. He was always the eternal Son of God. He is undiminished deity and true humanity on that very first Christmas. The incarnation of the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God left heaven and through the incarnation and virgin birth took on true humanity. Now, He is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. And He had to take on true humanity or He could never solve the world problem of sin, because to do so, He had to go to a cross, and the sins of the world had to be poured out on Him and judged. And so He had to take on true humanity. 5. He is the only person who has solved mankind's problem of sin. The only person who ever could solve mankind's problem of sin. The genitive singular of huios with the intensive pronoun autos, used as the third person personal pronoun, is correctly translated His Son. And that means, 1, Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God. He never, ever had a beginning. God is one in essence, three in personality. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God and His Trinity never had a beginning. He is the eternally existing God. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. 2, this emphasizes the deity of Jesus Christ. This emphasizes the deity of Jesus Christ. 3, He is co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He has always been the eternally existing God. And that's why when you see in the scriptures, he has the name, I Am. I Am is I Am the eternally existing God. 4, He is the one whom God the Father sent to solve mankind's problem of sin and provide eternal salvation for anyone who simply believes in Him. He is the one that God the Father sent to solve mankind's problem of sin and provide eternal salvation for anyone who simply believes in Him. The genitive singular of Jesus Christos is the genitive of apposition. In other words, Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. So the corrected translation, and this is His mandate, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And you might remember we had a special Easter message. And in that Easter message, we were studying the word Semeion. S-long-E-M-E-I-O-N, which is a miraculous sign. And we went through the Lord Jesus Christ performing one miraculous sign after another miraculous sign after another miraculous sign after another miraculous sign, and the people continued in arrogance and rejection of him. They hated him. They wanted to kill him. They did not believe in him. All of those miraculous signs prove that he is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, the only Savior. All of those signs prove that he was, and they didn't believe in him. And finally, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm not giving you any more. They wanted, give us another sign. Give us another sign. He said, no, I'm not going to give you any more signs except one, the sign of Jonah. You put me to death, and 3 days later, I will be resurrected. That's the only sign I will give to you now. Now, John 6. Let's start at verse 25 because this is the passage where Jesus Christ performed one of those semeions, miraculous signs. The feeding of the 5,000. That was a miraculous sign to demonstrate to all of and the mountainside was covered with people. And Jesus Christ said, we need to feed these people. And his disciples said, what? There's 5,000. Well, and it was, I don't know who it was, brought a little basket with a couple of fish. And they go, this isn't going to feed 5,000 people. And the Jesus Christ said, take that out and give the 5,000 all the food that they want. Let them eat until they're satisfied. Now, just having you people there and feed till you're satisfied, why, it wouldn't have been enough to go past one. Well, now, this is still at that time. Verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Messiah, Son of God. No, they didn't say that. They called him Rabbi, Teacher. They still, all of this miraculous Semeion demonstrating he is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. He is the Son of God. He is the only Savior. They didn't believe that. So when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw Semeions. Not because you saw the miraculous sign which I demonstrated to you in feeding the 5,000 with just a couple of loaves and fish. You're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate loaves and you ate until you had your fill. And then Jesus Christ gives them a hits them right over the head. Don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. You see, you don't realize that you hadn't come to your senses. You're standing before the bread of life. Believe in the bread of life, which will give you eternal life. All you're interested in is going to the table and
gobbling down, scarfing down all the food you can eat. You don't give a damn about the Messiah. You don't give a damn about Jesus Christ, the only Savior. You just want to fill your stomachs, scarf down more food. Don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. That's Jesus Christ. On Him, God the Father has placed His seal of approval. And then they asked Him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the One that He has sent. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ, the only Savior. And this is His mandate, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. One, this is the phase one mandate of the plan of God. This is the phase one mandate of the plan of God. Two, this mandate is for the entire human race. The entire human race. Three, the phase one mandate for the entire human race is to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. For the whole world. The phase one mandate for the entire human race is to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Four, divine impersonal love for the entire human race motivated God the Father to design Operation Grace, the cross. Divine impersonal love for the entire human race motivated God the Father to design Operation Grace, the cross. Five. All the sins of the entire human race were imputed to Christ on the cross, and they were all judged in Him. Unlimited atonement. Christ just didn't die for the sins of those who would believe in Him. He died for the sins of every member of mankind, every member of the human race. Unlimited atonement. All the sins of the whole world, those who would believe in Christ and those who would not believe in Christ, they were all poured out on Christ and judged. He freely went to the cross and took the sins of the whole world and the judgment for those sins. So all the sins of the entire human race were imputed to Christ on the cross, and they were all judged in Him. Unlimited atonement. Six, every member of the human race, therefore, is savable. Has the potential for eternal salvation. Every single member of the human race is savable and has the potential for eternal salvation. Seven. God does not want anyone to perish, but He desires that every member of the human race
comes to repentance, a change of thinking about Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that anyone should perish and wind up in the lake of fire. He desires that everyone changes thinking and believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's God's desire. That's why when Christ was on the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world and poured them out on Christ and judged them in Jesus Christ. 8. This is accomplished by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. John 3:16, for God loved the world so much, impersonal love for the whole human race. This is God the Father's impersonal love for the whole world. For God loved the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him will never perish but have eternal life. John 3:18, whoever believes in Him, Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's uniquely born Son. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. In Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love, virtue love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith. This salvation is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 9, there is only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only one way of eternal salvation, and that is to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. There is only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only one way of eternal salvation, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. 10. The mandate of phase one of the plan of God is simply to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. And that's it. You don't add anything to it. The mandate of phase one of the plan of God is simply to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, and that's all. So again, corrected translation, and this is His mandate, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, the phase one mandate. Now that brings us to the phase two mandate. And the phase two mandate, by way of introduction, one, the phase two mandate is for all the ones who fulfill the phase one mandate, who believe in Jesus Christ. The phase two mandate is for all the ones who fulfill the phase one mandate and believe in Jesus Christ. Two, the phase two mandate is to fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. which is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The phase two mandate is to fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, which is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you will have the great motivational virtue, personal love for God the Father, and that motivational virtue will motivate you to have impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue. And then the occupation with Jesus Christ. An occupation with Jesus Christ, well, when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, not only are you abiding in God, but the Lord Jesus Christ is abiding in you. He has made himself at home in your heart. How great is that? He makes himself at home in your heart. Now I love 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, 4th, 5th, 6th John. Well, I'm glad that you at least know something about your Bible. I love John, and you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ loved John. The Lord Jesus Christ loved John. He loved just sitting down with John. He loved having dinner with John. He loved talking with John. And John was there listening to all that Jesus Christ taught. He got it. And in his epistles, he emphasizes what Jesus Christ was teaching. The mandates, the commands that Jesus Christ was giving. A new command I give you, to love one another. To love one another with impersonal love for all. And here is this great epistle. And we have agape and agapao used again and again and again and again for virtue love. And we have the verb meno, the great verb that John uses to explain what it is to live the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills. And when you are living the spiritual life, you are menoing. You're menoing. And you will meno in God, and God will meno in you because you are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And this teaches, nobody uses this in this way like John does, but John totally understood what Jesus Christ was teaching. And he presents it in this phenomenal epistle. So the phase two mandate is to fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, which is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And he says, he starts out, and love one another as he gave us commandment. This is the conjunction chi plus the present active subjunctive of agapao plus the accusative plural of the reciprocal pronoun alelon plus the adverb kathos with the aorist active indicative of didomi plus the accusative singular of entele with the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego. Now chi is a continuative chi, and the purpose of it is to introduce the phase two mandate, and it is centered around the verb agapao. A-G-A-P-A-long-O, agapao. One, agapao is the verb for virtue love. From this verb agapao, John uses the noun agape for virtue love. Again and again and again and again. 2, virtue love is the ultimate objective for every church age believer. Virtue love is the ultimate objective for every church age believer. Three, when the believer lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advances to spiritual maturity, then virtue love is brought to completion in his heart. And John has already taught this with the verb teleao in 1 John 2:5. He taught it again in 1 John 4:12. He's going to teach it again. 1 John 4:17. He keeps using teleao. And from teleao comes teleos, which is translated mature. Well, sometimes it's translated in some of your Bibles perfect. Well, none of you will be perfect. Well, there's different kinds of perfect, you know. There's a perfect asshole, and we got a lot of those out there, let me tell you. And some of them come into churches, too. But the word teleos means mature. It's a synonym for spiritual maturity. And we will be seeing that in 1 John chapter 4. 3. When the believer lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advances to spiritual maturity, then virtue love is brought to completion in his heart. 4. When anyone fulfills the phase 1 mandate and believes in Jesus Christ, then he enters his unique spiritual life for the first time. When anyone fulfills the phase 1 mandate and believes in Jesus Christ, then he enters his unique spiritual life for the first time. Wahoo! How great! You have been entered into the unique spiritual life. The only time it was ever lived in before was by Jesus Christ. And then it was passed on to the body of Christ, because we live in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And without that unique spiritual life, you'd all be casualties. So God in his magnificent grace gives us this unique spiritual life that he gave to his Son, and gives it to us so that we can be victorious in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. 5. Now God the Father gives every member of the royal family of God another mandate. Live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Attain spiritual maturity. And love one another with impersonal love for all. Now God the Father gives every member of the royal family of God another mandate. Live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Attain spiritual maturity. And love one another with impersonal love for all. 6. God the Father manifested unconditional, impersonal love for the whole human race when he designed Operation Grace, the cross, the plan of salvation. God the Father manifested unconditional, impersonal love for all, for the whole human race, when he designed Operation Grace, the cross, the plan of salvation. Seven. Now, God the Father mandates every member of the royal family of God to manifest unconditional, impersonal love for all as a result of having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Now God the Father mandates every member of the royal family of God to manifest unconditional, impersonal love for all as a result of having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And how do we know this is impersonal love for all that's being emphasized here? By the reciprocal pronoun, allelon. A-L-L-long-E-L-long-O-N. Allelon. And allelon means one another. Impersonal love for all. And to love one another with impersonal love for all. One, this phase two mandate is to have unconditional, impersonal love for all mankind. Unconditional, impersonal love for all mankind. Two, virtue love is made up of the great motivational virtue, personal love for God the Father. That has to come first. And if you never have personal love for God the Father, you'll never have impersonal love for all. But first of all, the motivational virtue, personal love for God the Father. And that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue, and occupation with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart. Not only are you abiding in him, but he is abiding in you, making himself at home in your heart. Three, personal love for God the Father is the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. Personal love for God the Father is the great motivating virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. And by the way, impersonal love for all, sometimes it comes in the form of tough love. Tough love. Jesus Christ, when he saw the money changers in the temple, you know what he did? He grabbed a whip and whipped them all. Whipped them all and drove them out. Did he sin? No. In fact, meganoite. That's blasphemy. It was tough love. And Jesus Christ had impersonal love. He operated on virtue love all the time. And sometimes impersonal love calls for tough love. Like when he had those people after the feeding of the 5,000. They all showed up, but they didn't come. They came because they like eating all that food. You got any more? So he chewed them out. You're only over here because you ate and scarfed down all that food. You didn't come with positive volition to place your faith in the living and true God, the bread of life, who gives eternal life. So he had to get tough there. And he got tough. Matthew 13. I love the Matthew 13. Calls the religious leaders, hypocrites! You hypocrites! Sometimes impersonal love is tough love! And that's a part of impersonal love. And I think maybe the greatest pastor I served. I've served under some great pastors. Ron Breckel at Bethany Bible Church in Pullman, Washington, was absolutely phenomenal. Colonel Thiem, Paraka, absolutely phenomenal. And it was the colonel who told me that Ron Breckel was doing the best job of any pastor in the nation. And I listened, I out, and I'd see Pastor Breckel, and he'd have tough love and get tough. And I'd see the colonel, and he had tough love. This is the Word of God. What is going from this pulpit, you assemble here, hopefully in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, so that you concentrate on what God has to say to you tonight. This is the Word of God. This isn't my word. I didn't write it. This isn't my word. This is God's word. And there are those that assemble as believers in Jesus Christ that have no regard for the Word of God. They think they're more important than God or His Word is. And I went to Baraka while I was at Dallas Seminary as much as I could. Went to some pastors' conferences. And I was sitting in the second row of one pastor's conference. There was a fellow sitting in front of me, and he was moving around and shaking and moving around. And all of a sudden, the colonel just stopped me. He says, "You freeze!" Well, I couldn't tell if he was pointing at the guy in front of me or he pointing at me. And he said it again. I said, "Freeze!" I did. My heart stopped beating. I thought, I don't think I'm moving anything. I know my heart's not beating. Then he said, "You see me at halftime." Well, it turned out the fella had a little bit of a health problem. And the health problem, he was shaking and moving around. He was really shaking at this point in time. And at halftime, as he was starting up, people came running up to the colonel and said, he explained, he has... And when they came up to the colonel, I'm sitting there, and the colonel goes, "Hi, how are you doing? Are you enjoying the conference?" Now, was the colonel out of line? Absolutely not. He's God's servant communicating the Word of God. And you know what? I think with that right there, everyone in that auditorium had greater concentration, better manners than they've ever had in their entire life. It was a blessing. So sometimes it takes tough love. And that's a part of impersonal love. Remember that. So now God the Father mandates every member of the royal family of God to manifest unconditional impersonal love as a result of having virtue love brought to completion in his heart. This phase two mandate is to have unconditional impersonal love for all mankind. Personal love for God the Father is the great motivating virtue that motivates impersonal love for all. And this can only be accomplished by living the unique spiritual life God has given us by the spiritual skills, the power of the filling of the Spirit, the consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, executing God's plan, will, and purpose for our lives. And then the adverb kathos means just as, and the verb didomi, which means to give. The third person singular subject, he, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gave this mandate. The aorist tense is a constative aorist. And the constative aorist is probably the most used type of aorist in all the New Testament scriptures. Sometimes you have an ingressive aorist, emphasizing the beginning of an action. Sometimes a culminative aorist, emphasizing the result, the completion of an action. But the consecutive aorist looks at all the whole process. And here's the mandate that Jesus Christ gave to love one another with impersonal love. He gave it not just once, but again and again and again and again. And John was there every time that the Lord Jesus Christ gave these mandates, here and here and here and here and here, and he views them all now in its entirety. That's the consecutive aorist. Viewing all the time that Jesus Christ taught about virtue love and gave the mandate to love one another in its entirety. The active voice, the Lord Jesus Christ performed the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this mandate from the Lord Jesus Christ as a dogmatic truth of Bible doctrine. The dative plural of the personal pronoun ego is to us, and the dative case is the dative of indirect object, and the indirect object presents the ones in whose interest or benefit something is given. This mandates, or the from the Lord Jesus Christ, is for the interest and the benefit of the entire royal family of God. So here's a principle, and make sure you get this principle. Having virtue love brought to completion in your heart is not only fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Having virtue love brought to completion in your heart is not only fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, but it also results in great spiritual benefit for you. Great spiritual benefit for you. You see, impersonal love for all will enable you to clear the hurdle of all people problems. It'll enable you to clear the hurdle of marriage problems. If you have impersonal love for all, you can clear the hurdle of marriage problems. And there's no such thing as a marriage that never has any problems. But you have the solution. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart, impersonal love for all, and that will solve all marriage problems. You're good to go. If one of you has it, you're going to do great. If both of you have impersonal love for all, you're in. You're in. And you will have a very wonderful, wonderful marriage. And successful marriage. Families. Impersonal love for problems in families. Solve all family problems. All marriage problems. All friendship problems. All problems at work with your boss. All problems with the management. All people problems can be solved. You can clear the hurdle with impersonal love for all. It has great, great spiritual benefit for you. So having virtue love brought to completion in your heart is not only the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, but it also results in great spiritual benefit for you. And then, entele. E-N-T-O-L-long-E. Entele. That's the word commandment, command, order, mandate. The accusative case is the accusative direct object. The literal translation of this phase two mandate sounds like this. And to love one another just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave this mandate to us for our interest and great spiritual benefit. Again, and to love one another just as He, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave this command, this mandate to us for our interest and benefit. Turn over to John 13, Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, John 13. John 13, verse 34. Jesus Christ is giving this mandate. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, a new entele, a new entele I give to you. Love one another with impersonal love for all, as I have loved you with impersonal love for all. So you must love one another with impersonal love for all. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Impersonal love for all. And then turn over to John 15. John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, meno, abide, meno, in my virtue love. If you obey my commands, you will abide in my virtue love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have taught you these doctrines that my happiness, you see, occupation with Christ, the other side of the coin is sharing the happiness of God, that my happiness may be in you and that your happiness may be complete. My command is this, love one another with impersonal love as I have loved you. Now down at verse 17. This is my command. Love one another with impersonal love. Impersonal love for all. So the corrected translation of verse 23. First John 3:23. And this is His mandate. The phase one mandate. To believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the phase two mandate, and to love one another with impersonal love, just as He, the Lord Jesus Christ, commanded us. Well, I lied to you. We didn't finish chapter 3, but we did finish verse 23. Thank God for the blessings. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.